From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, a lot happening today in our nation's capital. I was on the Hill earlier this morning meeting with some congressional leaders when Speaker Ryan announced he would be retiring from Congress at the end of this year. We'll get reaction from Chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Mark Meadows, in just a moment. We'll also discuss the leadership's plan for a vote on the balanced budget amendment. Also, the focus on the House on the Hill today is the hearing with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. But tomorrow, it will be back in the Senate with the confirmation hearing of President Trump's nominee for Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. And while many pro-life, pro-family organizations have praised President Trump's pick for Secretary of State, one organization that has been out front in their opposition is the Hollywood-based homosexual group GLAAD. What do we know about them? Media Research Center's Tim Graham joins us. We'll also get an update from activist mommy Elizabeth Johnston on the April 23rd sex ed sit-out. And more still to come. Lawmakers in crazy California are at it again. As if they hadn't already made such a mess of public schools, they want to essentially take over homeschooling. California pastor Jack Hibbs is here with a warning. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And let me remind you, pastors, May 23rd through the 25th, the Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing here in Washington, D.C. Find out more about it. Be a part of it. Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right. Speaker Paul Ryan will not seek reelection in November. He made that announcement public today. The Wisconsin Republican said that he would retire from Congress at the end of this year. Here's a clip of what he had to say earlier today.
I am announcing that this year will be my last one as a member of the House. To be clear, I am not resigning. I intend to fulfill my served term as I was elected to do. But I will be retiring in January, leaving this majority in good hands with what I believe is a very bright future.
With us now, Congressman Mark Meadows. He represents the 11th Congressional District of North Carolina, serves on the Oversight and Government Reform and Foreign Affairs Committee, and he is the chairman of the powerful House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Meadows, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you, and as always, my best to you and your listeners. And it has been an interesting day here on Capitol Hill with the news that you just highlighted with the speaker stepping down. And so obviously, it's going to prompt all kinds of questions, but I'm here to hopefully give some insight to the listeners on your behalf.
Now, he went on, Congressman Meadows, to talk about, you know, there's obviously it's been a great honor to serve as speaker, and that is a high honor. But being a dad and a husband is an honor, too. And I don't want to be a weekend father and still has young kids. And he said he wants to focus on his family, which I absolutely appreciate and respect. But what is this? Where does this leave the Republicans of Congress? What is this, an opportunity? Is it a challenge? What is it?
Well, I think it's more an opportunity than a challenge. Obviously, any time that you have leadership, there are those that will try to jump in the fray who just want another position in Washington, D.C. And if we do that, we will have missed the opportunity. I think the speaker said it well in that in leaving it in good hands, the hands that I hope that he's leaving it in are the hands of the American people. They're the ones with the real insight. They're the ones that understand it. There is not some unbelievable knowledge that gets imparted to members of Congress as they cross the Potomac and come into Washington, D.C. In fact, you can make the case that many of them lose their common sense when they cross the Potomac River, and I think it's a Potomac fever. But it is an opportunity that the conservative cause and those that are listening in right now, where their voice can be heard, not just with leadership changes, but to make sure that the agenda that we put forth really address the concerns. You know, one of the things that's important to me is defunding Planned Parenthood. And now we've been working on that for 35 years. If we can't figure out a way to do it, then we need to figure out someone who will do it. And hopefully as we look to the future, we'll be able to see some of that getting addressed. But I see it as an opportunity.
Well, for the benefit of our listeners, this is not your first rodeo when it comes to a speaker. I want to remind my remind our listeners that it was Congressman Mark Meadows that introduced a resolution to vacate the chair when John Boehner was a speaker, which most recognize led to him retiring from Congress, setting up a more conservative speaker than John Boehner, but yet not completely in line with the conservative resurgence that we've seen in the country. Do you anticipate, Mark, that we're going to see, you know, a even more conservative speaker come in behind Speaker Ryan?
Well, I do think that we will see a more conservative speaker for a couple of reasons. One is we have a Republican president in the White House. We, you know, have a Republican Congress and Senate, and the American people are really tired of excuses of not getting things done. And so, I think the odds-on favorite right now are for the two that are already in leadership. In that it would be Leader Kevin McCarthy or Whip Steve Scalise. And obviously, each one of those individuals have their own constituency. It doesn't have to be one of them. But yet, I would, it would be inaccurate to suggest that anyone has more of a support than the two of them at this point. But it's way early in the process.
Right.
Now, everybody's going to say, well, we're going to wait until November or December to see who the new speaker is going to be. I doubt that very seriously. In fact, I think the decision on who the next speaker will be made will be made within the next weeks to months, even anticipation of Speaker Ryan retiring, because they'll want to pass the baton to a new leadership team, cast a vision for the American people leading up to the midterms. And so it does create a little bit of a chaos, but I think right now we will start to see a number of people saying, okay, this is what I stand for, this is how I'm going to accomplish it, and this is how we're going to deliver on the promises we made to the American people.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. My guest, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, represents the 11th District of North Carolina. He is also the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. And Mark, one of the things that's, I think, a little different in this speaker's race coming up that we'll be obviously involved in is that the Freedom Caucus is organized and has a strong presence in the House, which I think will contribute to the ascendance of a much more conservative speaker. From a standpoint of process is so important, because if you don't allow the process to go forward, it doesn't matter where you are personally, ideologically, you're not going to allow the voices in Congress to rise to the point of being able to shape the outcomes.
Well, that's very, very well said. And that process is important. You have been a very big proponent of that for an extremely long time. And yet the other part of, the Freedom Caucus being created and actually voting together as a bloc allows for perhaps not selecting who the speaker will be, but having veto power on who it will be. And so that automatically tilts whoever is going to fill that position, hopefully to the right. It's going to take a number of us to really hear from the people, your listeners, on what they want to see. You know,
right.
What are the priorities? You and I both know that religious liberties and religious freedom is under attack, not just in our nation's capital, but across the globe. How are we going to protect that? How are we going to make sure that, you know, families and really fathers and mothers have their rights protected? You know, we've got to make sure that it is more than talk, that it actually is policy that gets implemented. And we have an opportunity between now and November for the midterm to accomplish a whole lot, and then hopefully leading on from there during the rest of this first term of the president to get some things done and quit making excuses for, we would get it done except for 60 votes in the Senate. strong leadership forces tough votes to make sure that the American people can hold their representatives accountable for those votes.
Well, let's talk just a moment about some of those priorities that I think I can tell you hands down, if I were to open the phones right now and take calls, people say, well, let's start with Planned Parenthood. Why are they getting $500 million a year from the government? And we just funded them in this massive omnibus bill, $1.3 trillion, which all of the Freedom Caucus voted against. But I know, because you and I have talked about this, members heard about it when they went home. There's something that could be done about that right now. Congress could respond to that and defund Planned Parenthood.
Well, they could. There's actually two different vehicles. One is, you and I have talked about, this whole rescission mechanism that's a pretty old procedural tactic that actually allows us to pass it out of the House, get with a 50-vote threshold, and I repeat, a 50-vote threshold in the Senate, not 60 votes, to rescind some of the funding for critical parts of the appropriations process. And the president is very willing to sign that, even if it's a defund of Planned Parenthood. He campaigned on that. He's willing to sign that. And so we need to get serious about that. I think if we do that between now and the summer, the American people will say, listen, they campaigned on this. They've delivered on this. Let's give them some more time to do more good work. And if we don't, then the consequences will be exactly the opposite. But you're right, that omnibus vote, when I went back home to my district, which is in North Carolina, there was really, you could almost feel the anger and frustration among so many people who said, well, I thought things were going to be different in Washington, D.C. We were going to drain the swamp, and instead we filled it. So hopefully we can reverse that course.
So why is that conversation, you know, overshadowed by this discussion of a vote coming up even this week, probably, on a balanced budget amendment, which requires supermajorities in both chambers, not going anywhere, where with a simple majority in both chambers, you can defund Planned Parenthood and scale back this massive spending bill?
Well, that's because Congress, and I use that in terms of a term that may not include every member of Congress, but it includes more than you might think. Congress is real good about talking about what may happen in the future and casting votes that won't go anywhere, instead of talking about what can happen in the here and now and casting a vote that actually has a potential of getting signed into law. And this balanced budget amendment, I'm all for balancing the budget. I'm all for making sure that we do that. But to have a show vote that would suggest that we can get a supermajority in the House and Senate and get three-quarters of the states to ratify it, and that's somehow going to make it, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it almost is insulting to people out here. So anyway, we're out of time. Mark, thanks for coming on. Please take that message back to the leadership. I'll send it as well. But we need to do something that's tangible and is accomplishable. And I think that's what the rescission vote would do. Thanks so much for joining us, Mark.
Thank you. Take care. God bless.
All right, folks, don't go away. Coming back on the other side of the break tomorrow, Mike Pompeo, his confirmation hearing starts. Groups on the left are opposing him. We're going to talk about some of those groups with the Media Research Center. Don't go away.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council speaker series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglas. Again, that is frc.org/Douglas.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique, not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it?
It's not. Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life. Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our country is headed. With so much at stake in America, do our leaders have a way forward? To find out, mark your calendars for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Mike Huckabee, Paul Ryan, Ben Carson, Steve Scalise, Kellyanne Conway, Kirk Cameron, Laura Ingraham, Dana Loesch, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levine. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the special early bird price, but act fast. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins. All right, a few days ago, GLAAD, the world's largest LGBTQ XYZ media advocacy organization, launched a hate campaign against CIA Director Mike Pompeo. Now, this is happening, of course, in response to his nomination by the president to replace Rex Tillerson as the next Secretary of State. Now, his confirmation hearing takes place tomorrow. Who is this group? What are they about? I mean, they're Hollywood-based. What are they doing weighing in on the Secretary of State? With us now, Tim Graham, executive editor of Newsbusters and is the Media Research Center's director of media analysis. Tim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
You've been monitoring GLAAD's media campaigns for quite some time. What do you make of their effort here to demonize Mike Pompeo?
Well, it's always important to remember, you know, groups like the Media Research Center, we're trying to say we need the inclusion of conservative viewpoints so that we can have a full and fair debate. GLAAD is the opposite. They are a group that says we need to shut down views we disagree with. We need to make sure that they are expunged from television. We want to make sure that there is no debate, that there is no conversation. And their original title was the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, but I call them the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Debate.
That's very true, but we see, of course, that's really what the entire left wants to do. They want to shut down debate. I think it's because they cannot defend their positions against the truth, and so they want to shut down this debate. But what's their angle here? I mean, we're talking about the Secretary of State. I mean, they're focused primarily on the media, Hollywood, making sure that their message is dominating in the hills of Hollywood. What's their interest in Secretary of State?
Well, the State Department is an important place to promote the LGBT agenda internationally. This is one of those things that they were very, very happy with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Right. Because she promoted their agenda.
In general.
They promoted their agenda.
So that in countries that that were not pro gay and lesbian sex and advocacy, they were there. You know, the Americans became evangelists for the gay agenda. Every embassy, you know, was having Pride Week. I mean, it was, and this is always the fascinating thing about liberals when they take over the government. They say we should have a separation of church and state. We shouldn't have anybody evangelizing about any of their religions. But boy, we should sure evangelize for our progressive ideology.
Hey, excellent point, because that's exactly what did happen in the State Department. And Tim, what's interesting is that a lot of that really didn't change much under Rex Tillerson. I mean, it wasn't promoted as heavily, but it continued. So you didn't really hear complaints by GLAAD and others about Rex Tillerson. But now that you know, he's out and Mike Pompeo has been tapped to lead that agency, which is really at the ground zero of the swamp in Washington, D.C., literally at Foggy Bottom, they see this as a threat, don't they?
I would suspect that you've got obviously permanent government employees inside the State Department who have probably worked with GLAAD on these issues for years. And so this is just one of their alliances. It is not their main focus. I mean, their main focus is to make sure that everything the news media does on their issues, everything that entertainment shows do on their issues, that they have to come in and monitor you and approve things. You know, you remember back when there used to be the Hayes list that would tell you whether your movie was decent enough to appear? Well, now we have the Gays list. And, you know, basically indecency is anybody who disapproves of their, you know, their ideology.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. Tim Graham from Media Research Center and Newsbusters is with us. So who are they? Who is their message, GLAAD? Who is their message aimed at in this campaign? Are they trying to reach the media? Are they trying to reach Democratic members of the Senate who will be in these confirmation hearings? Who are they trying to reach?
I think they're trying to basically, again, remember that the gay and lesbian movement is a constituency of the Democratic Party, and they're trying to basically say, let's make these confirmations difficult. This is a confirmation that really should not be difficult in a Republican Senate. They also, I'm sure, want the Democrats on the confirming committee to ask questions from their agenda.
Right, which they put out.
Try to nail him down on certain issues.
Right, which they've actually put out questions they want asked. How should Republicans respond to groups like this?
Well, I mean, there's a different agenda here, and that is the idea of religious freedom worldwide. That's certainly something that we would it would be nice if we had a State Department that actually cared about the persecution of religious believers worldwide. Certainly, again, not something that Democratic administrations are great at.
Yeah, without question. And I do think that that should be front and center. It's something we've written about here. And, in fact, I had a piece published on FoxNews.com just about that issue and the importance of religious freedom as it pertains to national security and economic stability. And, you know, I don't think we should be at all on the defensive against these issues that GLAAD and others raise, but rather move forward with a proven agenda that has historical and it has statutory standing. The issues that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and GLAAD are wanting to be pushed through the State Department have no standing in law, whereas religious freedom does.
Right. And I mean, again, this is where every government agency, in a sense, is putting out information. The news media doesn't pick it all up. But again, it's more important, I think, for the State Department, which is sharing all this messaging abroad.
Right.
And that's where they're basically saying, we're going to take this left-wing anti-religious agenda around the world.
Yeah. Tim Graham, as always, great to talk with you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. An important hearing. And reach out to your senators and encourage them to stand with Mike Pompeo. An important nomination. All right, coming up next, parents are staging a walkout on April the 23rd over Planned Parenthood's graphic, really I would describe pornographic, sex education curriculum that's in public schools. Activist mommy Elizabeth Johnston We'll be here with an update when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com. Welcome back. This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, as we've been talking about here for a couple of weeks, on April 23rd, parents around the nation will pull their children out of school for a day to bring attention to a very, very serious problem. This is about the dangerous and graphic sex education material that is being pumped into our children's minds through the classrooms, through the public school classrooms. Now, this is coming from a, in most cases. Now, sometimes these local school boards get this on their own, but in most cases, it is coming from model legislation and curriculum that is being pushed by Planned Parenthood, the organization that is under investigation for the trafficking in human baby body parts, the ACLU, and some other leftist organizations. And they're trying to cut parents out of this. But parents have found out about it. And so now they're organizing to bring attention to this and put an end to it. It's not just about protesting. It's about protecting our children. With us now is a concerned mom and activist, Elizabeth Johnston, who goes by Activist Mommy, and she is organizing this walkout. Elizabeth, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks so much for having me again.
Well, I want to get an update. As I told you, we want to monitor this very closely as we move to the 23rd, because we want to see as many people as possible participate in this. How's it looking so far?
It's going great. Rush Limbaugh talked about our movement for over an hour last week on his show, which, of course, was huge. Newsweek has covered it, Washington Times, The Blaze, so many places. We have press events now scheduled for April the 23rd in Austin, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, Bloomington, Indiana, Charlotte, North Carolina, Sacramento, California, Spokane, Washington, Martinsburg, West Virginia, Vancouver, Canada, and Melbourne, Australia. I think I got them all in there. So we're in three countries and press events in nine cities across the U.S. from east to west coast. and people all over the nation will be pulling their children out of school. They'll be delivering to them the principal's letter that it, you can get on our website. We've made it very easy for you. If you go to sexedsitout.com, you'll see we have graphics there. You can print out signs to go to your press event. And we have a press release there, and we have the letter to the principal. We also have evidence of the graphic curriculum. A lot of people are saying, show me the evidence. They find it hard to believe that Planned Parenthood and HRC are actually in our schools. Planned Parenthood, a criminal organization, actually in our schools that profits from girls getting pregnant because then they go get their abortions at Planned Parenthood, actually in our schools teaching sexuality on during school hours at taxpayer expense. They find it hard to believe, Tony, and when we show them the evidence, they're absolutely livid. And so you can get that evidence at our website, sexedsitout.com.
I think that's extremely important that people see this information, parents see this information, so they know that this, first off, is not some kind of just, you know, group of people that are just agitating. This is about protecting our children. This isn't just a protest. This is about protecting our children, bringing attention to this. And I know FRC, we've got a lot of resources that help parents understand what's actually happening in their classrooms, the classrooms of their children. But Elizabeth, by design, this is structured so that parents don't find out what's happening in the classroom and what their children are being exposed to.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's really something that has been opening a lot of parents' eyes. I want your audience to understand that the Planned Parenthood and ACLU, HRC, what they're doing is they are using Title V funding, which is supposed to go to abstinence-only education, because that's all parents want their kids to learn. They are using Title V funding and sneaking into the schools by claiming that abstinence education is teaching kids how to engage in oral and anal sex. How deceptive and sneaky and clever, demonically clever, I should say, is that? And so, you know, parents are outraged when they understand that they are taking the spirit of what parents want or are wanting, which is abstinence education. This is what they voted for. This is what they labored and called their representatives and spoke to the politicians and made it clear this is what they wanted. And they have found a clever road around that and are now perverting. This is going to stop. We have Planned Parenthood running scared now. They are deleting pages from the internet trying to cover their tracks. We are going to put a stop to this as parents. Please join us on April 23rd.
All right, April 23rd, sexedsitout.com. They can get all the information they need right there to participate in this and also to know exactly what is going on in the classrooms and what their children are being exposed to. Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to keep tracking this, and we're going to try to help as much as we can to get folks to turn out, be a part of this, pull their kids out of school, and bring attention to this and protect our children. Elizabeth, thanks so much for being with
us. Thanks again.
All right.
Thank you so much, Tony.
And folks, let me tell you, I know we're up against a break, but this is also motivation for some of you who need to run for the local school boards. And then put a stop to this. Nip it, as the great philosopher Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking more about what's happening in our schools, this time in California. Don't go away. Back with more right after this.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. You know, in all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number 800-225-4008 or go to TonyPerkins.com. God bless you and may God bless the United States of America.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, Chairman of the Board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, President of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And folks, look, this program is made possible by folks like you all across this country who care about their families, they care about their ability to live out their Christian faith, and they care about their freedom. And so, you know, in this age of fake news, and yes, fake news is real, it's out there. Believe me, I see it every day. We deal with it here in Washington, D.C. constantly. This is a way for you to get information not from, you know, just talking heads, but from the actual newsmakers. I mean, earlier, we had the chairman of the Freedom Caucus on, Tim Graham, who with the MRC, they monitor the media. They're kind of like the watchdogs of the media. And, of course, Activist Mommy, that is leading parents across the country to stand up against this radical sex ed stuff that's happening in our schools. So the only way that happens is if we have support from folks like you. So if you'd like to be a partner with the Family Research Council and with Washington Watch, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and join us and be a part of that. All right, speaking of the schools, oftentimes you'll hear us talking about what's happening in California because California is crazy, okay? The legislators out there are always doing crazy stuff, but here's the problem. It doesn't stay in California. It moves its way across the nation. And so right now what's happening is that we actually see legislators in California who have totally messed up the public schools are now wanting to come in and take over homeschooling. Yes. Yes, they're wanting to actually come into people's homes, regulate all kinds of stuff. And of course, they have a number of these LGBTQ bills going through the legislature right now. Well, joining us now with an update, Pastor Jack Hibbs. He is the founder and senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. One of our Watchmen pastors of our Watchmen Council. Great friend. Loved to be out there with him. In fact, was just out there at his church a few weeks ago. Great church. Folks that get it and are making a difference with the information they get. Pastor Jack, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you so much.
All right. Homeschooling under assault in California. Tell us about it.
Homeschooling under assault might be an understatement. It's absolutely amazing what's going on. As you said, Tony, we've got a legislation up in California that it's off the rails. And remember now, what we're talking about is a government of California, quite frankly, with superpower, super abilities here because they rule. California is a perfect example of what happens when Democrats get elected and they have free reign. So let's check this out. Assembly Bill 2756 and Assembly Bill 2926, both of these are anti-homeschool bills that have been put forward, and they're fast-tracking them through. And what that means is this for homeschoolers in California, and like you said, Tony, it will go beyond California if this passes. But I'll read you some of the things that they're talking about. For example, Do the parents discipline the child? These are home inspections that will be mandated that every homeschooler in California will be subject to a state inspection. It's under the ruse of public safety. Does the home discipline the child? What is taught in the home? The curriculum. Are LGBT issues in your home curriculum? The parents are to be either degreed individuals or educators themselves, if this goes through. These things are far-reaching beyond. And, Tony, we have to remember that out of the population of the United States, 1.5 million homes are homeschooling homes in America. 200,000 plus of those homes are in California. This is a huge deal.
Wow.
But what's happening is this incredible power grab to come into the home. And we know here in California that the schools are failing. The most expensive schools in the United States, I think, outside of possibly New York. But the schools are failing. The kids are subject to drugs, violence, guns. And people do not want their kids in public school. And so the homeschooling network and the private school network is skyrocketing here in California, and the state, frankly, doesn't like it. They want to put an end to that.
Well, this is what they're doing, is they're nailing the door shut to the school to keep the kids in, because you're absolutely right.
That's well said, yeah.
Parents are pulling their kids out, and this is happening across the nation, but as the public schools implode, they become dangerous both emotionally, physically, and spiritually, not to mention academically. Parents are pulling their kids out looking for alternatives, and homeschooling is one that many, many parents are picking. And it's interesting, this is going at the heart of why these parents are doing it. Number one is this whole issue of human sexuality and the redefinition of marriage and definition of human sexuality, which is deeply rooted when you look at biblical truth, and parents who want to teach their kids biblical morality, it's being assaulted in the school, so they pull their kids out, and now you've got the state coming into the home saying, oh, you got to teach this in your curriculum. And by the way, you need to have a college degree or teaching degree in order to be able to teach your kids. So, you know, I have a hard time. I don't recall finding that in Scripture where God says that you are to raise up a child, teach them the way they should go if you have a degree. If not, leave it to the public schools.
Yeah. Well, Tony, I'm glad you said that, because all the Christians that may be listening to this program right now, specifically pastors, you can't sit there in all 49 states and say, well, that's California, you know, who cares? This is something different. You have to care, because what happens in California will quickly in 2 to 3 years be in your state. And we need all of your listeners who have friends in California to contact them, let them know, because there's websites. I tell you what, people are mobilizing. We have not seen a groundswell and grassroots swell like this in any of our previous fights, including the famous Prop 8 campaign back in 2007. So this has got people's attention. People are showing up for meetings. People are going online. People are concerned. And I need to throw this out there also, Tony. This is not just homeschooling. This law... these bills, if they're passed, incorporates charter schools and private schools. And this should get everybody's attention. But here's what's going to happen. This lunacy, I think you used the word crazy. Mm-hmm. This crazy is going to continue until the people of California, good people of California, get up and vote. And vote these people right out of office. And I know that sounds militant, and I believe it ought to be. We have been given by God the ability to cause a revolution every 2 to 4 years in the voting box. And we can vote these people out and replace them with some good people. But we just have to be involved. And we're fighting here in California regarding our children, our grandchildren, in this homeschooling attack, public and private school attack, Tony, that this is the hill to die on. Because where are we going to go? So we can move to Idaho, sure, we can move to Texas, but we're only buying time, and not much time. This is going to be a national issue, and I just want to encourage everybody to get involved, certainly pray for us, contact pastors and friends in California, and ask them if they're aware of AB 2756 and AB 2926, because this directly affects churches. I've already had people tell me, I've got 3 staff members, Tony, that said, if this passes, we're moving out of California. And this is something that is not an idle threat. These are real problems where the government is coming into our homes to inspect our homes, to find them not worthy to their standards. And yet, listen, their standards have failed.
Right.
Our public school, in fact, a Wall Street right. Journal article just recently showed the most contributing factor, they believe, to the teen suicide rate in the United States is the public school system and the internet. Yeah. And we don't want to subject our kids to that.
Yeah, I mean, if before they come into homes and try to tell parents how to teach their kids, they should perfect what they're doing. Well, they don't want to perfect because they're actually going the wrong way. They need to correct. And
yes.
And teach the kids that they have in their public schools. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. My guest, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. We're talking about legislation making its way through the California Assembly. All right, where can people go that are in California that want to be a part of drawing attention to this and, more importantly, stopping it?
Right. First of all, if you forget all of this information, you can just Google California homeschool legislation or bills, and that's going to take you to some of the most powerful trending links. So that's good. But you can go to realimpact.us, realimpact.us. You can go to hslda.org, and you can go to the Pacific Justice .org website. Brad Dacus is running. Tony, you know Brad. He's running a point on this as well. But you will find it. It's the biggest thing going on right now in California. And please pray for our state. It's out of control. But we can change that. We will not surrender. We will pray. We will get involved. But by all means, go to Google. Type in there, California homeschool battle, and you'll have a plethora of directions to go to sign petitions and to let your voice be heard.
Pastor Jack, before I let you go, I want to emphasize a point you made that, you know, not only does this not stay in California, it spreads across the country, but there's also a progression of this, and we actually see this in some other bills, a bill that was in committee yesterday in California. Yeah. California was one of the first states that essentially made it illegal for parents to want to secure counseling for their children if they were having issues of gender confusion and such. They wanted to make that illegal, make that type of counseling illegal. But they're now expanding this to where even churches can't even speak to these issues or offer help to those who are seeking help. I mean, this is going to be illegal for churches to do this. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, Tony, you're talking about AB 2943, where it's hard to believe what I'm about to say. I'm looking at it. It prohibits, with the result, by the way, if you violate this, with monetary fine and or imprisonment. If you, as a minister or a registered or licensed counselor in the state of California, help someone who comes to you and wants to get out of the LGBT lifestyle, okay? If you counsel them regarding their desire, that's illegal. If you have booklets, now listen to this, booklets or papers or items in your bookstore, and by the way, read, if you read the law, it may even affect commercial or secular bookstores in California. If there's anything that causes someone to feel or to sense that their lifestyle is wrong, if they feel that they're somehow in a wrong lifestyle, that can be punishable now by law if this goes all the way through. And like you said, it passed committee yesterday here in California. But pastors, listen, pastors, we're talking about, when they say pamphlets and booklets, do they really mean Bible? Is that what they really mean by that? Tony, I think they mean Bible. They can't stand the Bible, and they want to close the mouths of pastors. They want to shut down churches, and they want to make the conviction and the healing and the joy of the Holy Spirit giving you a new life illegal here in California.
Wow. And folks, if you just joined us, he did say California, not China. This is California.
Yes.
That is doing incredible. If you live in California, if you're a pastor, by all, you need to be connected to this and speaking out on this and challenge your people to do so. This idea that they will be satisfied with their domain of the public schools and all this other stuff, you're fooling yourself, because they are coming into your homes. That's with this homeschool bill, and they're going to come into your church with this bill. There is no safe space when it comes to religious freedom and expression in California with a government like this. Jack Hibbs, as always, great to talk with you, my friend, and thank you for being a watchman pastor and drawing attention to this and alerting the people of California and America to these grave threats to our freedom and to our family.
Well, Tony, thank you, and thank you for allowing us to have a voice on your program. It means everything to us.
All right. Brother, have a great day, and we'll be watching this, obviously, very closely.
You too.
All right, that was Jack Hibbs, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California, realimpact.us. We'll take you to a place where they actually have a lot of this information, and you can equip yourself, you can engage, and collectively make a difference, which is critical. And look, so much of what we're talking about, have you noticed this? In the last, it's been a while, but it's been consistent. A lot of what we talk about is centered around our schools. And what's in our schools? Our children. What are our children? What do they represent? Well, they're our heritage of the Lord. That's what he gives us, and that's the future of this country. And most of you know this, but doesn't hurt to repeat it. They're focused on our children. And you and I have been given a responsibility by God to raise up our children in the way that they should go. We're to teach them as we walk in the way, as we sit down. We're to instruct them. Now, again, I've said this before, you can delegate the responsibility to the authority. You can allow someone else to teach your children under your authority. I mean, you can, but ultimately you will be held accountable, each one of us. Let's teach our children, and let's get involved in the process to influence the environment that all of our children are exposed to. Run for a school board. Speak up. Don't be silent. And of course, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken that stand, well, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.